If you would please and turn to the book of Matthew. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And before any of you strip a cog, I know where Matthew chapter 5 is and I know where it belongs doctrinally, but we're going to get a practical point out of it. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. Let's stand, please. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Dan, would you pray for the message this morning, and then everybody can be seated.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you, God, for the wisdom and goodness.
Amen.
Lord, how you bless.
Amen.
You eat,
amen. Yes.
Lord, we ask, God, for these people, Lord, we ask you that just be with us once again.
Yes.
Lord, bless Brother Dennis, God, empower and use him.
Please.
Lord, we ask, God, you give you the words to say.
Yes.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
God, not only to hear, we take heed to the word of God.
Amen.
Lord, for be one here today that is lost, God, you deal with that heart.
Yes.
And help them, God, to see that, Lord, they don't have forever. And God, they
yes.
need to get ready.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we ask, God, your will be done through this word. Lord, we'll be sure that you pray the Lord for the Christ's name of God.
Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning about after the thrill is gone. And I can assure you that my subject matter has nothing to do with the Eagles or anything they ever sang about. Amen. Just want to go ahead and clear that up. All right. But every preacher, listen to me this morning, church. Every preacher in America knows that the hardest sermon to preach to his congregation is the first sermon he preaches immediately after revival. Now, if you don't know that, you've never been a pastor. But if you've been a pastor, you know that. Everybody's whooped. Everybody's wore out. Everybody's been up here. And now it's all back down to the regular deal. And the preacher's got to come in and preach right after behind that. And that's a tough job. It just always has been through my entire ministry. It's a tough job. And it's going to be a little tough today. But I want to say this. I thank God that we had a good week of revival services. Amen?
Amen?
Man, that was great. And I know many of you, like I said, are tired because 7 days of church meetings can wear you out. But I will say this, it's a good tired, isn't it? It's a good tired. It's a good tired. A good thing to be tired from. Now, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully this morning. I don't care what you do in life. Do you hear me? It does not matter what you do in life. In time, the excitement and the initial emotion of the moment is going to wear off. It just is. Listen, it happens in marriage. Now, I'm still excited to be married, okay? And I'm still excited about Miss Darby. And I still think she's beautiful. But I'd be lying if I say I have the exact same feeling I did the day I saw her coming down the aisle. Because that actually was a feeling of terror to some of it. But, man. Hey, man, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about I barely could take care of myself, and now I got to take care of her. Amen. But hey, listen, that excitement, listen, the thrill is going to leave somewhat in marriage. It's going to leave with your job. You can say, boy, I'm glad I got this job. It's great. And then you, after you work with some of those suckers for about 5 or 10 years, it's not so great anymore. The thrill is gone. Some of you shaking your head, you know what I'm talking about. With an exercise program, you get started the first week or two, and you're like, man, I can't believe this. I'm going, yeah, you stay with it about 6 months or a year or more, and let's see how much exercising you're getting accomplished. You'll have to go beyond the thrill and push yourself to go ahead and do it, whether you feel like it or not. It doesn't matter if it's some kind of hobbies. There's things I enjoy doing, but I don't enjoy them. I don't get the same exact type of thrill out of them that I did when I first started doing them. It doesn't matter if you go on a diet. Some of you may be thrilled about a diet. I don't know how you can be, but you might be thrilled about the diet and some weight starts going off. But after a time, there's only so much that turkey burger can do for you. That stuff right there, I don't know who decided to take a turkey and ground it up in a burger. Somebody was hard up, man. Only so much that I can do for you, okay? Only so much. Hey, you buy a new car, and it's like, man, I can't believe it. I've been waiting all my life to get this truck or to get this car. And boy, I love this thing. I'm riding down the road, and boy, it's got that new smell in it. And one day, just out of nowhere, you don't even know when that day's coming, you wake up and you go, I got to pay 5 years on this stupid thing. You know what's happened? The thrill is gone. You buy your new house, you go, man, I love this house, this is the greatest house, whatever. And one day you get up and you go, you know what, I've been seeing this living room for a few years now. The thrill is gone, but the mortgage isn't. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, that's not the worst of it this morning. The worst of it is, listen, the sad truth this morning is that the thrill also can many times leave after some important spiritual moments or years of service. Spiritual service takes place in your life. I want to give you four common areas where a Christian's life that he's got to learn. Listen, you have got to learn to deal with and go on for Christ after the thrill is gone. And the last point is the main one I want to touch on because it's the one that's so relevant to us, what we're here to, doing today. Number one, I want to talk to you about salvation just for a few minutes. The initial excitement and joy of salvation can and will leave. It doesn't mean that you don't have the joy of the Lord, you don't love the Lord. Listen, I'm still excited about being saved. When them girls sang that, man, that was great, wasn't it? Singing about the blood. But you've got to admit that initial excitement and buzz, feeling and all that's going on when you first get saved. What happens after the years go by? The thrill gets gone. Listen, when you first get saved, you experience that relief that you first feel when the burdens of your sins are no longer burdening you down. And you go through that time, but then that wears off, doesn't it? It will wear off. As you begin to grow and mature in the Lord, you're no longer a babe in Christ. Listen to me. As you grow and mature in the Lord, and you're supposed to be growing and you're supposed to be maturing in the Lord, you're no longer a babe in Christ. The Lord, listen, this is what he's going to do to you. Now, you've got to get a hold of this. He's going to wean you, and he's going to direct you into a relationship, listen, that is defined more by faith than emotion. When you're a babe in Christ and you first get saved, you'll have a little extra emotion. You'll have a little extra excitement. I believe it's because you're a babe, and you need that initially. You need that. But then he's going to take you to something higher. He's going to wean you, and he's going to prove to you what that Bible says, that you're to walk by faith and not by sight. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to wake up one day after you're saved, and that initial thrill of salvation ain't going to quite be there like it was. And that's when a lot of people panic. And they go, man, but listen, what God is trying to teach you is, in the Christian life, sometimes you just have to put your head down and go through it almost like a bull. Many times in the Christian life, there are no emotion. There are no joy. I mean, we can't stay in a perpetual state of revival. We have to level back out. And after the thrill is gone, you have to understand that that God is getting you into a walk with him that doesn't have anything to do with emotions. It's got to do with your commitment to him. Do you understand that? You have to understand that because you will always be looking for that next high. Well, I'm gonna go skydiving. I'm gonna jump out of an airplane. I'm gonna climb Mount Everest. Now, people do that in the world, but they try to do that spiritually. They try to duplicate what actually happened to them and what they felt the day in the first few months after their salvation. You'll never get it again. But you'll get something really that's more meaningful. You'll really get something that's better. It won't just be packed with just full of emotion. It'll be something that's went on inside of you as God begins to grow you and you mature as a Christian. But you have to watch that. Some of you have to watch that. You'll start equating that losing that feeling of salvation with, well, I'm just losing the presence of God. I'm losing the touch of God. And you'll be a thrill seeker. But you'll never find the thrill you're looking for. And you know what you'll do? You'll be disappointed. And the devil will try to tell you ain't right with him because you don't feel it. So you can lose. Listen, you're going to lose. Now, I'm still fired up about salvation. I'm still glad to be saved. And I still shout it out with you every once in a while. But you will eventually lose that initial, the initial thrill of being saved. Number two, you can lose that thrill. The thrill will be gone after years of ministry. The freshness and newness will wear off if you are in the ministry any length of time. It doesn't mean that you don't. Listen, I'm just as excited today about preaching the gospel as I was many years ago. I believe God's got me right where he wants me. I hope that he'll give me the health. I hope that he'll give me the mental ability. I hope that I'll stay right with him to continue and to minister and to be a part of the body of Christ and to do something and help this church. I want to do it. I mean, I'm fired up about it. But I don't have that same thrill that I did the very first time I ever preached when I was 20 years old, back in that little small Southern Baptist church on Baptist Men's Day. Any of you ever remember what Baptist Men's Day? You got any ex-Southern Baptist or Southern Baptist, whatever, in here? You know what? Stick your hand up in there. You know what a Baptist Men's Day is? That was the day when they turned the whole service over into the church to the young men. They were leading the singing. He'd try to play. They'd try to do the specials. They'd teach the Sunday school classes. And they'd get a fella to preach. I was 20 years old, shaking in my boots. I think I preached for 11 minutes. And it was hard to get that out. And then I remember the text I preached. I preached on that thing over there where he says, he that has faith as a mustard seed, if it stayed under this mountain, be thou removed into the sea. It wasn't dispensational at all, man. It wasn't doctrinally right. I don't know how right it was about anything. That was my first message. But you know, when I got up there, I was nervous. I was shaking. I had this zeal and this excitement. I was 20 years old. Next month, I'm going to be 50. Do you know what that means? I'm getting old, no. You know what that means? That means it's coming up on 30 years from the first message I ever preached. 30 years. I know what some of you are thinking. Man, you sure ain't improved much. Now listen. I don't have that same thing. I don't have that same thing on me that I did at 20. In that little bitty Southern Baptist church, you could put three of those sanctuaries in here. Knees knocking. Not rightly divided at all, Brother Billy. Just trying to preach. The thrill is gone. But I would submit to you that what I have now is much greater than that. But you're going to lose your thrill when you go into ministry. You're going to get tired and battle scarred. Years of hard work with no results. It's going to knock some of that thrill out, ain't it, Brother Dan? I mean, we're just speaking reality here. I'm trying to help you. Years of listen, what's going to happen as you begin to develop and go on in years of ministry? You're going to have years of disappointment and discouragement that's going to begin to accompany the years of excitement and fervor. They'll all go together. You'll be going through things where you have excitement and fervor and zeal for the Lord, and all along there, running parallel with you, will be disappointment and discouragement. That's the ministry. That's just the ministry. And the thrill will be gone. Number three, you can lose that thrill. The thrill will be gone after years in the same church. You know what you do when you're in the same church and you're there for a long time? And some of you's been here. You were here over there on rentals when the thing burnt. And some of you's been a member of Holy Hills for a long time. I think it's an amazing thing to have Brother Tim here. And his pastor, his father once was a pastor of Holy Hills. And some of you have been here and you've seen people come and you've seen people go and you've seen the ups and you've seen the downs and you've seen all the things and the struggles of this church. In that building, now in this building. But can't we just praise the Lord today to say, look, our church is still going on. And there's a good spirit here, and God's still doing something. Where? In Holy Hills Baptist Church. Holy Hills Baptist Church. But listen, you know what you'll do? You'll get used to the people. You'll get used to the preacher. You'll get used to the piano player, although I don't know how in the world you can get used to Brother Mark. Amen. You'll get used to the same old Sunday school teacher. You know what'll happen? The thrill's going to leave. It's going to leave. This means yes. How many of you are still awake? I know. I feel like you, man. But we'll get through this. I know we're whooped. It's a spiritual thing that's taken out of you, not just physical. But listen, you'll get used to that stuff. And you know what you'll go through as you go through a local church? It doesn't matter if it's this one or what local church you're involved in. People will stab you in the back, and there'll be years of labor and years of strife. And you know what that stuff will do? It'll take a toll on you. And listen, you may be in a good church. I believe if you are in Holy Hills, you are in a good church. You may be in a real good church full of good people. But listen, I don't care how good the church is, how good the people are, how much you love your pastor, how much you love your Sunday school teacher, whatever. The thrill is going to leave. Do you understand? You're going to come in here one day and this thing ain't going to be near as exciting as it used to be to you. I'm trying to help you this morning to know what to do when that thing's gone so that you don't get gone. You understand? It's going to leave. It leaves when you get saved. It leaves through your ministry. It leaves after you've been in a church for a while. And finally, before I get into how to help you, I want you to understand there's one thing that is real relevant in what we just went through. That thrill is going to leave after revival. We just had revival. Listen, we had a good revival. For this day and time, we had a good meeting. And I thank God for it. We had some special singing. The singing was great. We had visitors. We had excitement. We had a great preacher, Brother Jared. He's a different preacher with a different perspective and delivery. All that's exciting, and it helped them. It helped our church. It helped me. I needed that. I know you needed that. And listen, folks, I love revival. We need revival services in this church. And revival has helped us, and it will help you if you plug into it when it happens. I can tell you this. I know there's one thing in particular out of all that preaching Brother Jared did. There's one thing in particular that he preached on, and God got a hold of me in my heart, and it helped me. It really helped me. It was something that God was dealing with me about in my life. I needed to get right. And he helped me with that, and I thank God for it. That's what revival is supposed to do. But now here it is, Sunday morning. Back to normal. A normal Sunday with the normal people, with our normal pastor preaching a normal message. Sound like a country song, don't it? It's a normal Sunday. With my normal preacher preaching a normal message, and I'm going to go home and take my normal nap. Amen. You got that right, brother. Amen. It's normal, okay? There's still some thrill left. You still feel some of it, don't you? Not as much as last night. Next Sunday when we get here, it's not because we're sinning. It's not because we're doing something wrong. It's not because we've turned our back on revival. That's not it. It's normal. Next Sunday, there'll be less thrill. And then the Sunday after that, there'll be less thrill. I know, I've been in this a few years. I know what I'm talking about. It's the normal life, times in life in a local church. It happens after salvation. It happens after years in the ministry. It happens after years in the same local church. And it happens after revival. The thrill will leave. And some of you may look at me now and you say, well, Brother Dennis, what do we do? I'm glad you asked. You have to stay hungry. Stay hungry is an idiom that we use in the world. It means to stay determined, motivated, or act and active to achieve one's goal. But I'm talking about staying hungry here as in the scripture that we just read a few minutes ago. Now, I want you to notice our text for today. Just a few more minutes and we'll be concluded here, but I want you to get a hold of this. This is part of Christ's sermon. It's his Sermon on the Mount. More specifically, it's one of the Beatitudes. And our Lord tells the multitude that they are blessed. Notice what he says. He says, you're blessed if you hunger and you thirst after righteousness. And you know what we're going to have to do? And by the way, he said, notice what he said before we get into this. He said, if you will hunger and you will thirst after righteousness, he promised you that you will be filled. He'll fill you up if you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, they are to hunger and thirst after righteousness, not the thrill. Do you hear me? You say, where do we go from here now, Brother Dennis? After a revival meeting like this, after years in the ministry, years of being saved, after my salvation, years of being in the same church. Do you know what I think we get mixed up many times? We get mixed up in our soul where we begin to hunger and thirst after the thrill, after the feeling, after the excitement, after the emotion. And that's not what God says. Listen to me. How do we continue on in the spirit of revival? How do we continue on as a church doing what God's called us to do? It's not trying to seek the way we felt last week. It's hungering and thirsting after Him. We don't hunger and thirst after the thrill. We hunger and thirst after the one that maybe can give us the thrill. But we still hunger and thirst after Him, whether He gives us the thrill or not. Because the mature Christian, the Christian that's really revived, the church that's really revived, isn't seeking the thrill. The thrill is a byproduct, it's a bonus. We're seeking the Savior and we're seeking His righteousness. Now, if you're saved, you already got it, but I'm talking about being practically righteous, staying in His book, staying on your knees prayer, wanting to see the precious Son of God manifest in your life. That's what you do. You hunger and you thirst after righteousness. And you say, what kind of righteousness? Christ, because Christ is God's righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let me give you a couple of verses I want you to think about as we nail this point home. Proverbs 27:7. Do you know what Proverbs 27:7 says? Remember, we're thinking about this. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, God says that fellow's going to be filled. Notice Proverbs 27:7. It says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Do you know what he says in that verse? He says, look, he says, when a fella gets full, I mean, when he's just eating a whole lot of food, even the sweetest thing like good old homemade banana pudding doesn't even taste good. I mean, if it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't even believe that. He says, you can get so full that homemade banana pudding cooked right out of the oven hot with that stuff on top of it. Meringue? Yeah, whatever it is. Calf slobber, whatever. Oh, man, he said, you can get to where you don't even like that. But notice what else he said. He said, but if you're hungry, listen to me now. We're talking about staying hungry. He said, but if you're hungry, you can put something bitter in your mouth, and it will taste good. Why? 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 Because you're hungry. Do you come to church hungry? Not just for the preaching, I think you should. Not just for the teaching, I think you should. But are you hungry for the Savior? For Him. Not the feeling, not the emotion, not all the rah, 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 re, kick him in the knee and all that stuff. I like cheerleaders to help you go on, but they're not necessary for the game. Sorry, if anybody's a cheerleader in here, don't come up here and bull rush me and rebuke me. Now, I've been a cheerleader for 20 years. You can play the game without a cheerleader. Does it help? Yeah. Especially if they'll put some clothes on. That would really help. I'm all for the cheerleaders in the 50s. Not so much nowadays. You don't need the cheering. You don't need the emotion. You need Him. You need to hunger after Him. You need to seek Him. And listen, if you seek him and you got your mind and your heart on him, it doesn't matter if we don't throw song books or get excited or whatever. All that matters is I want to get a glimpse of glory. I want to get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see him be magnified in my life. I hunger and thirst after God. And God said, if I hunger and thirst after him, he will fill me. I'll be full. If you hunger and thirst after the thrill, you'll never be full. You'll run around from one service to the next, one revival to the next, one ministry to the next, one church to the next, one thing to the next, and you'll still be starving. Because the emotion, the thrill after it's gone, it can't do you nothing. You have to put your head down and stay in that book and stay faithful to God and say, I'm seeking him. Not what he can give me, but I'm seeking him. And he'll give you something. We need that in these last days. Not going to have the revival that you had years ago. Not in these last days. It's amazing what tastes good when you're hungry. I know it's true. I can't believe it. I believe red beets would taste good if you're hungry. I just ain't never been that hungry, Brother Billy. What you do is you go out there in the yard, you scoop up your handful of dirt, and you get you some cooked red beets, and just whichever one you throw in the mouth, they taste the same. That's what red beets taste like. It tastes like the ground. Now, unless you got some kind of iron deficiency or something where you're eating clay, because some people do that. They eat clay. Now, if you're eating clay for iron deficiency, I would encourage you to stop eating the dirt and eat some beets, okay? Otherwise than that, leave them nasty things alone. I would really tell you how I feel about beets, but my wife loves beets. So, I'll just end there. But it's amazing. Listen, it's amazing what can be palatable to you if you're hungry. Like the two fellas standing around one day, and they were talking about what they feed their dogs. One fella said, yeah, I feed my dogs turnips. The other fella said, turnips? He said, yeah, I feed them turnips. He said, wow, my dog won't eat turnips. He said, mine wouldn't either the first 2 weeks. Amen. I bet Peter loved that one. If you're hungry, I remember something, and I don't even think my son even likes turnips. But I remember one time years ago, my boy was about 12 or 13, and we got in a tree stand. And we were sitting in one of these shooting houses, and it was getting on over in the evening, and the wind began to blow. And what we had was a field. It was a little field. Y'all got some big fields up here. This would be definitely considered a little field, probably about a 20, 25-acre field. And down here we had a green patch on this side of the field, and it's sort of dog-legged, and over here was a great big turnip patch that my uncles had planted. And that wind got to blowing across there, and you could smell those turnips coming into that treehouse we were sitting up there. You know what my son said? He said, oh, those turnips smell good. I'm getting hungry. I wish I could eat some. He don't want to go out there. He don't even like them cooked, much less raw. Do you know why he's sitting up in a treehouse? We're trying to kill a deer, and he says, those turnips smell good. Because he's hungry. You know what's wrong with some of you? You are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after Christ. If you will get hungry and thirsty after Christ, it won't really matter what kind of meal they serve. Just like Brother Jared was talking about last night, you'll just be glad to jump on it. You'll be like that dog that finally decided he liked turnips. We hunger after Christ, church. We desire Christ, church. We go for Christ. Like those folks over there in John chapter 12, verse number 21, it says, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Did you come to church this morning and say, we would see Jesus? In the Sunday school hour, we would see Jesus. In the worship hour, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. See, if you're hungering and thirsting after, he didn't promise you if you hungered and thirst after Coca-Cola, you'd be filled. He didn't promise you if you hungered and thirst after riches, you'd be filled. He didn't promise you if you hungered and thirst after this or that, or he didn't say that. But he promised you that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, he'll fill you up. So why aren't we filled up with it? It must mean we don't have many people hungering and thirsting after it. That's what it must mean. And even after the thrill is gone, church, we can still be filled with the love of Christ. Even after the thrill is gone, church, we can have the joy of our salvation. Even after the thrill is gone, church, we can have the peace of God. Even after the thrill is gone, we can still experience some excitement about our salvation, about our ministry, about our church, post-revival excitement. Even after the initial thrill is gone. But listen to me, church, as we get into the short rows now, we must not hunger for the emotion. Do you hear me? We must not hunger for the emotion. We must hunger for the Savior. Do you know what the Christian life is many times? The Christian life many times is just routine and mundane. The real Christian life is just routine and mundane. But church, we do those things the Lord asks us to do, and we do what he says. We seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, he says, seek his righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what we do. We can experience moments of joy. The Spirit-filled life offers peace and joy. And we can have it. You know what I know about me this morning? I feel pretty good. Emotionally. Spiritually rather. I don't feel bad emotionally, but I don't feel just sort of neutral. But physically, I'm wore out, man. Ask other pastors this too. Revival is never for a pastor. You know why I need to leave every once in a while and get in a revival down the road somewhere? So I can actually get preached to. You got so much on your mind when you're a pastor, you don't enjoy a revival very much. I'm tired of the praying and the emotional stress and the spiritual stress and whatever. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm physically tired today. I'm physically tired and probably not as sharp as I usually would be and all that kind of stuff. But the inner man... The inner man's doing great. I feel good on the inside. You say, well, you look bad on the outside. I can't help that. And I feel good on the inside. You know, why is it? Is the thrill gone? Oh, yeah, man. But see, this ain't my first rodeo. I knew when I walked in here today. I know about this stuff. I wasn't expecting you to shout me down. I was expecting some tired people that had got their cups full. And you know what I was looking for when I got in here this morning? I wasn't looking for the thrill. I'm looking for him. I want him. Okay, if I get him, if he sends me a thrill, good. If he doesn't, fine. Who cares? Why do I want something so superficial as a thrill when I can get him? You see, that's how we as a church carry on after revival, after years of salvation, after years in the ministry, after years in the same church. That's how you keep going. We get to the point where the thrill is not the emotion. The thrill is the Savior. We stay hungry for Christ, not the goosebumps we got on the day we got saved. Not the excitement we felt the first time we ever preached God's word. Not the overwhelming emotion that we felt the day we joined the church. Not the spiritual high we received from a week of wonderful singing and preaching services. No, we hunger and thirst for him, church. It's not the thrill that we seek. We seek the one who can give the thrill. We don't seek him to get a thrill. We don't seek him so we can get a thrill. We hunger and thirst for more of him because he is all that thrills my soul. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious, Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Every head bow and eye close. Let's have the